Is it text 75? Is that
76. Right?
Okay, 76. Sava ayam brahma mahat vimrigya. Kaivalya nirvana sukhana buddhi. Priya sunitva kalumatuleya. Admarhani yo vidikrit guruscha. Saha. That's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Va. Either. Ayam. Krishna. Brahma. The Supreme Brahman. Mahat Vimrigya. Sought by great, great saintly persons, devotees of Krishna. Kaivalya Nirvana Sukha, of liberation and transcendental bliss. Anubhuti, for the realization. Priya. Very dear. Surit, the well-wisher. Saha, of all of you Pandavas. Kalu, famous as. Matuleya, the son of your maternal uncle. Atma, heart and soul. Arhaniya, the most worshipable person. Vidikrit, giving direction. Guru, your spiritual master. Cha, and. Translation. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Paramahamsa Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. Purport. Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train a devotee. And when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as the spiritual master within his heart. Tesam sadhata yuktanam bhajatam piti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna does not become the spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we've already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. The representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to his disciple, but only perfect knowledge. Thus he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps as the guru, or spiritual master, from within and from without. From within, he helps the devotee as his representative, and from without, he helps the devotee as his representative, and from within, he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return home back to Godhead. So, here the Narada Muni is describing the good fortune of the Pandavas. That is the nature of devotional service. It is through devotional service that good fortune is attained. Sobhagya. It is explained that maybe the Pandavas were already great devotees. The Pandavas are considered to be the eternal associates of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Paunami, Vyatitani, Janmani Tavas Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, so many births you and I have taken, and we were together so many times, but I can remember and you cannot. So Arjuna is described as an eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, equally, the other Pandavas are extraordinary personalities from birth, practically. It is described that Bhima did not fight with celestial weapons. He would rather fight with a tree. But it said that he had all the celestial weapons. He was born with them. Arjuna attained them. But Bhima already had them from birth. So who were these personalities? If we look at it from that perspective, they undoubtedly were most exceptional personalities. But one should not think that only such exceptional personalities will get the direct mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the point that is being highlighted here in the purport. Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. It is possible, yes. And of course, the Pandavas were greatly graced. They had the personal presence of the Supreme Lord. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we also find this discussion. And it is again Narada Muni who is involved in the pastime. And Narada Muni is trying to ascertain which devotee has received the greatest mercy of the Lord. And he is first finding a brahmana in Prayag, on the banks of the confluence of the Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati, and who is doing a very nice puja there, very nice. And he glorifies him, "You indeed, you are the greatest devotee, you are the most wonderful." Then that devotee says, no, I am not so great. He said, "You know, I'm doing a puja." He said, "But in South India, there is a king. He does an amazing puja, but not only that, he engages everybody else in that puja. So that is a greater thing. Therefore, he is greater than I am." And so, Narada became ecstatic and Narada went there. And then that king also sent Narada again to another devotee, and it continues and continues until we come to Hanuman. And when we come to Hanuman, Narada has now come to Hanuman. It says, "Hanuman, you are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord." Hanuman is saying, "Me?" He says, "Look at it like this. When Lord Ramachandra, when he returned to his abode, right, he took all the residents of Ayodhya along, and he left me behind. How am I the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord? He left me behind, and I had to live for so long in the separation of the Lord." No. He said, "Then look at the Pandavas. Look at the Pandavas." He said, "The Pandavas, the Lord is their personal associate. The Lord is personally present with them. He acts as their servant. He acts as a guard. He acts as a counsel. He acts as a friend. I mean, he acts as a messenger. He's so intimately connected with the Pandavas. He's always with them." And Narada is going, "The Pandavas, the Pandavas." And Hanuman is saying, "The Pandavas, the Pandavas." And they're saying together, "The Pandavas." And they are just getting ecstatic, "The Pandavas." And Narada says, "Let's go to the Pandavas." And they're going to the Pandavas. And Hanuman says, "No, I can't go to the Pandavas." And Narada says, "Huh? Why not?" He says, "The Pandavas, they are very casual with the Lord, you know, very informal. And you know, I am a monkey, so I have to be careful for my monkey nature. I can't afford those kind of things. I have to deal very properly and very formal. So no, I cannot go to the Pandavas. Then Narada continued alone, the Pandavas. So in this way we see how the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita kind of correlates with the Bhagavatam here, and how the unique position of the Pandavas is discussed. I do like it, though, very much that Srila Prabhupada immediately points out that anyone who is serious can get such special mercy from Krishna, that Krishna will personally direct that devotee. Mm. But who is that serious? I don't know if I am. But then, somehow or other, there are the wonderful great acharyas, the great pure devotees who are acting by their perfect example. And somehow or other, such great souls are always there in this world by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord will not only on a personal level interact with such devotees, but such devotees become the instruments of the will of the Lord and of the plan of the Lord. And the Lord is fulfilling his purpose through such Vaishnavas. And so, evam parampara praptam imam rajarsiyo vidusa kalineya mata yoganasta parantapa. So the disciplic succession continues, and again, great Vaishnavas come to the fore to deliver the entire world. At the moment, because 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Now the mercy of the Lord is even more intensely and more easily available. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tvisa Namaha. Lord Chaitanya comes to widely distribute the topmost to the most fallen. And somehow or other, we are part of that. So we are reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are reading about the Pandavas from that perspective of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just like Hanuman had his own shortcomings that he recognized in his nature, inherently, it's not difficult for us to recognize so many shortcomings in our nature. In that regards, there are three famous verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing his own fallen position. He says, I'm lower than a worm in stool. I am so fallen that anyone who comes in contact with me will lose all his pious credits. So usually people quote only those two verses, right? And they forget the third verse, right, which is the key to the whole thing, because if you go with these two verses and you send someone to a psychiatrist, they would say, have a seat. What did you say again? That anyone who comes in contact with you will lose all his pious credits? Tell us more. It sounds like a serious case of low self-esteem. Maybe some pills or some rest somewhere. in a nice, peaceful clinic. Yeah. No, the third verse is very important, because the third verse is highlighting that then how amazing it is that one as I has received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And that changes everything. Suddenly, by receiving the mercy of Lord Nityananda, even one who has so many shortcomings is still on the transcendental path, is still empowered, is still showered with mercy, is still just fully connected to, and the Lord is personally so quickly and so easily interacting with his devotees now. So that is our situation. On the one hand, we can get introspective and look at the whole list of our shortcomings. And every once in a while, it's good to have a look at that, just to maintain a humble position and to try and improve. But if we make that our constant meditation, I'm so fallen, and that becomes the main meditation, then we're missing the point, because the main thing is, I got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I'm also pretty fallen, by the way, right? But the essence is, I got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And that mercy has been brought to us by Srila Prabhupada, who is so transparent to that mercy of the entire Panchatattva, that there's just no difference. No difference. Completely transparent. Completely, Prabhupada completely aligned himself. This is the difficult thing. Here it is. The Shastra. Mm-hmm. We read it sometimes as in between messages. And then, you do find very interesting points in there, and deep also about nature and character, all these things. But how to really live like that? I mean, I'm trying. We'll say I'm trying. But I often say trying is crying, because that's not really that's not what we see in those who are serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. So yes, if we are serious, we will try to align ourselves as much as we can. And still, we'll find that it doesn't always work out perfectly. And some things are just a little difficult. But anyhow, the most important, is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. The most important thing that is just happening right now. One of my favorite statements is based on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is said that that Vrindavan Das Thakur, it's none other than Vedavyas, and it also says in the future, Vedavyas will appear and will record many pastimes of the Lord. So you're thinking about that, what to make of that. One could think, well, some will appear and will uncover things that were not known yet, about what Lord Chaitanya did 500 years ago. That would be one interpretation. But, that could happen. But at the same time, though, I think it is a little different. I think my interpretation of those words is different. And I'll give an example. Once, Srila Prabhupada gave this lecture. And as he gave the lecture, at the end of the question and answer time, some lady, she asked a question. And she asked, is Joan of Arc also in the Bhagavatam? Joan of Arc, Jeanne d'Arc, the famous French lady who was fighting like a knight. Okay, is Joan of Arc also in the Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada says, I like that. I listened to this tape so many times, and then Prabhupada says, you know, from where is this coming from? And then he says, Joan of Arc in the Bhagavatam? Yes, she's also in the Bhagavatam, he says, because the life of the pure devotee is also Bhagavatam. Yes, the person Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat, it is quite clear. So, therefore, when we read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, it's also Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is also Bhagavatam, because it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is acting like the person Bhagavat. Therefore, it's like it's completely the Bhagavatam. It's the whole example is the Bhagavatam. And therefore, we can appreciate that right now, we are not just sometimes looking at Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. I like to make the point, we are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita particularly. It's going on right now. Lord Chaitanya is right now present in this movement. He's directing this movement. We're in it. Whether we want it or not, it happened. Right? In my case, I didn't want it, really. Not so much. To a degree, but not all the way. But somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, I joined the Hare Krishna movement anyway. Although I was planning not to. Yeah, what can I say? But Krishna tricked me anyway. I think you know the story. He sent me a girl friend which had a dog named Krishna. Then every night I was walking with this dog. The dog wouldn't come back. So I'd be calling out very loud, Krishna! I did Harinam around the block every night. No. Only Lord Chaitanya can think of stuff like that. So tricky. That's amazing. My Varpa Padarsha Guru, you get one on your own level, Maharaj. Krishna sent me a dog. Anyway, what to do? A dog for a dog. Yeah. But back, really, the point is that we are particularly living. These pastimes that are taking place now are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is acting. And Prabhupada had that vision. Prabhupada saw that. Prabhupada saw the presence of the Lord so much. In the purports to the CC, Adilila 9, Srila Prabhupada describes about the Sunday love feast. And he says that whenever there is kirtan and prasadam, then Lord Chaitanya will be personally present. Like that, we can see how much the presence of the Lord is actually there. Even in the life of us, who we know from ourselves, have shortcomings, but that is the amazing mercy potency. So the mercy has been preserved generation after generation, from Krishna to Lord Brahma to Narada Muni to Vyas to Madhvacharya and so on. But when it came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it just it just becomes amazing. Whereas Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasrisu Kaschit Yaditya Siddhina, one out of thousands, right? One out of many. But now, it's happening everywhere. It's no longer one out of thousands, one out of many. It's going to flood the whole world. That is happening more than we think. In closing, there was this Irish newspaper article some years ago, and maybe somebody still has it, and if they do, I would love to have it, because it was really good. I'm just doing it as whatever remains of it in my memory, which is not great. But, in summary, the writer, the journalist, he started to write how in the time, in maybe the 60s, 70s, the Hare Krishnas appeared and the time was very spiritual and everyone was thinking that maybe this spirituality was going to really take off, the age of Aquarius and all that. But then, it didn't happen. It didn't happen, you know. Okay, I'm going off a little bit. But there's a cartoon in the New Yorker, and there's this man, and he comes in full ropes into the living room. His wife sits on the sofa, and he says, look, I found my ropes from the 70s. They still fit. It's true. Lots of people had robes and something in the 70s. Right. But then, so the journalist took up the point that people did not really change. He said, you know, if you really look at it, yoga became a household word. Everyone knows what is karma. Everyone knows reincarnation. So many people become vegetarian. Everyone knows what is a mantra. You know what I mean? It's like it's a household word. Mantra. You know, mantra hotel. Mantra everywhere. Right? And he gave many examples. And he said, yes. He said, maybe, actually, everyone has become a Hare Krishna. Right? That's what he wrote. Maybe they don't wear the dress, but for the rest, you know, maybe everyone has become a Hare Krishna. And that is what's happening. Little by little, right? Everyone's becoming a Hare Krishna. By the arrangement of Lord Chaitanya, not by any other arrangement. And some devotees who are really working hard to make it happen. And in that way, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is spreading through his instruments, his dedicated devotees, and additionally by the divine intervention of the Lord. And the journalist continued to say, and maybe these Hare Krishnas, they know some secrets that we don't know. He wrote even that, you know. They know some secrets that we don't know about, like how people may become unknowingly caught up into the whole thing. And yes, Agyata Sukriti, unknown spiritual benefit. Hare Krishna. They don't know what's happening. But devotional service is performed. And so, and he said, maybe they know a secret that we don't know. He said, and maybe one day we'll all be walking around in robes and so on. Maybe one day the golden age will fully manifest. The golden age of Lord Chaitanya. So, therefore, Krishna is very much personally present in our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Maharajas. I've seen you on TV all this time, you know. I mean, watching the Zoom, the Mayapur TV. And so it's amazing to see you live. Well, most people survived for a while.
Don't get too hopeful.
Thank you, Maharaj. Wonderful points. I was just thinking, as you were describing the good fortune of the Pandavas, I was reading this morning how Akura, he was given the mission by King Kamsa to go to Vrindavan to meet Krishna and bring him to Mathura. And then Kamsa had his plans. And then as he's going, the verses are describing how he's thinking, I'm so fallen and I'm so wretched and, you know, what is my... But still, by this person named Kamsa, who was, you know, low class, I got the good fortune of getting the chance to meet Krishna. And he's counting his good fortune, although he looks at himself. And we can look, we can compare Kakura to many. I mean, what was his position? He was just one relative. And somehow he just happened to be in a position where Kamsa trusted him to do the work. And he got that. And of course he met Krishna. And then not only that, he was able to bring Krishna back to Mathura. So,
yeah.
And so that was I thought that was an interesting example also of someone who somehow, by providence or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, providence then, yeah. Maybe like some higher destiny that we cannot see.
Yeah.
Yeah? Providence can then be the higher destiny of karma or the higher destiny of special mercy from the Lord. Mm. Mm. Providence, the will of providence. But amazing indeed,
yeah,
Maharaj.
Amazing.
Yes. Thank you. Adi Purusha wants to say something. Something.
I have a question.
No comment.
Srila Prabhupada speaks about Krishna directing devotees, pure devotees. So it seems that Krishna directs different devotees in different ways.
Definitely, yeah.
For example, how does it... There can be pure devotees who are getting direction from Krishna, but they can be expressing rather opposing opinions.
Yeah.
How do we understand this, that Krishna dictates such opposing opinions to his devotees?
Yeah, look at the Pandavas, all pure devotees. Right? And then there's that interesting pastime in the Bhagavatam where Aswatthama has killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi and he's being arrested by Arjuna. He's captured, he's tied, he's brought before, and the Pandavas are there, and Krishna is there, and then the whole Draupadi is there, and now this layer of children has to be punished. Oh, yes. I mean, this cannot go unpunished. Something like such a heinous act. No, no. Punishment has to be there. And, yes, there is actually only one punishment suitable. Death. Right? He's a killer. He's a murderer. He should be dead. He should be killed. And, but, Draupadi, being soft-hearted, says, no, 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 no. He is the son of our guru. I don't want his mother to go through what I went through and all that. And then, meanwhile, Bhima, you can hardly hold him back. You know, Bhima is like, you know, look, are we going to kill him now or what? Are you going to do it or shall I do it? You know, I'm ready, right? And Yudhisthira is more... on, no, Draupadi made good points, you know, I think she's right. And he goes on that side, and then Arjuna is supposed to take the action, and Krishna is there saying, well, you know, I mean, you know, he's a murderer, huh? He should be killed. And so it's like very interesting to see the, and finally, you know, Bhima can't wait any longer. What are we talking about? And he just gets into action, and Draupadi jumps in between or jump and stop. And then Krishna manifests two more arms and separates Draupadi and Bhima. It's a real domestic drama in the Bhagavatam. I like it. But it shows, they're all pure devotees, the whole group of them, and it's like, and yet Krishna works through different ways. This is the nature of personalism, because the Supreme Lord is a person, and a person has so many moods, and sometimes Krishna is highlighting these moods. He has many tasks to fulfill. Yes, one interesting detail, for example, is that Balaram took the side of Duryodhan. Right, it was like a protector of Duryodhan and had taught him how to fight the club. Balaram didn't want to enter into the Kurukshetra war, but he was very inclined towards Duryodhan. So, you know, it's like, how is this possible? One Krishna, one form of the Lord, is telling Arjuna, you must kill him, right? And the other is protecting him. And of course, so we can look that in that case, Balaram was maybe protecting Duryodhan because he had acted like a Kshatriya. And he had, therefore, some piety. He deserved some reciprocation for adhering to Vedic culture and to Varnashram. But on the higher transcendental level, he was not representing pure devotional service, so he was not qualified. So the apparent contradictions that sometimes arise, they have a purpose, maybe a purpose to highlight pure devotional service, because ultimately that is the Supreme Lord's real purpose. His real purpose is to increase the glories of pure devotional service. So I think such contradictions are there to get a better focus, just to sharpen the lens. You're getting a microphone. It must be for the internet. You have a meditation when you go before the Panchatattva?
Yes. The Panchatattva Mahamantra, the Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And I think it's a wonderful deity because I'm thinking it expands throughout the whole temple. There's all the Gaura Bhaktas out there. So it's a very special deity, I think.
Well, I also think so, because if you look at the Panchatattva, the interesting thing about the these are five tattvas. Krishna manifests himself in five tattvas. And these five tattvas include jiva tattva. So jiva tattva in its perfect state is no longer in front of the altar. Jiva tattva has become emancipated and is on the altar. See? That's the amazing thing. I mean, generally. So it's Pasivasadi, yeah. Gaura Bhakti. It's possible to come to that point of becoming what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta calls emancipated up to the pure spiritual platform and becoming an associate of the Lord. Therefore, within the Panchatattva, you can actually see the perfection of that the jiva can attain to become an eternal associate of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So this did. Kavikarnapur in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, 40 years before Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did an explanation of Panchatattva. It's the first time in the Gaudiya history that we hear about Panchatattva. In all the other biographies of Lord Chaitanya, the individual members are described, but you never get them as a whole unit. It's only Kavikarnapur, for the first time in 1576, highlights them as a unit. And then he describes these five tattvas. They also appeared with Krishna, and now they appear again. So this is, in other words, the Lord's eternal manifestation in these five features. So within the concept of Panchatattva, we're actually understanding how the jiva is eternally in that relationship with the Supreme Lord.
One more question from the web. Avadhuta Rai Prabhu is asking. Sanjaya says, Pandavas ruled all Jambudvip. So how they went or traveled from the gross earth planet Bhugola to the subtle region of Bhumandala such as Jambudvip?
I couldn't fully get it because of the accent. Sorry about that.
He's asking how, if Pandavas ruled all the Jambudvipa, how they traveled from this gross planet.
If they ruled all Jambudvipa, well, you know, the Pandavas, they were very potent, obviously. They were not limited like we are limited. And so when we start to project our own current limited existence upon the Pandavas, Arjuna ascended to the heavenly planets. Right? Bhima is, you know, like stronger than 10,000 elephants. Thank you. 10,000 elephants. That's stronger than Spider-Man. Come on. It's like, isn't it? Yeah. You know. No, I was on this plane and I saw Spider-Man stopping a train. Yeah. Bhima could knock the train just off the rails. That's nothing for him. What's a train? 10,000 elephant power. So I think exactly how we may not know, because the nature of scripture is that it goes to the spiritual aspect of things, but gives us details about material matters at the same time. It describes us Jambudvip, it describes that the Pandavas were ruling this whole area, etc. But it doesn't describe really how they would exactly go around, although we know that Yudhisthira had a chariot that never touched the ground. Right? So we know that they were definitely in another realm of capacity. And so the question is not going to bring us a lot, I think, to try and nail that down, how they would get around. I think we should just appreciate that because they were so spiritually pure, that they were able to influence and to this huge area, which is way beyond the capacity of the sinful governments of today. I think that's the essence. And then these technical details that we may not know, but also don't need to know. Okay, well, I thank you, though, for the question. I think, I don't know, it says here 8:45, so I don't want to, I don't know about that, but I don't want to go on. Yeah. He wants to ask the question very urgently. If the Swamis give permission, then I can do it.
You were speaking about complex. Adipurusha asked a question about this disagreement between pure devotees. I always wondered in Mahabharata why is this character of Karna judged so harshly by Yudhishthira, for example. He says he is the most, I don't know what the word he uses, but because after all he didn't want to be part of all those plots, he want to sort out the conflicts directly in the battlefield. He granted his mother, who left him, a boon of not killing all of his, all of her sons, and he was harshly, insulted by Draupadi. Okay. And he didn't took it so bad. I mean, he seems quite an elevated character.
Okay, well,
to me,
very shortly. No, Karna was a principled person. Karna had kshatriya qualities and so on, but his orientation, his focus, was not right. Karna was. Was too much driven by his own personal situation, that he had never been given the chance, and therefore he wanted to show the world who he was, right? Because he felt, I didn't get the recognition I deserved. That drove him. A kshatriya should not be like that. A kshatriya should be a servant, and a kshatriya should be dedicated to the principles of Dharma. We also see later in the Mahabharata the story where after 12 years, the Pandavas have been in the forest for 12 years, then Karna has a great idea, says to Duryodhana, let's go, we have ruled now for 12 years, we are now very successful, now let us go there with all our opulence and show the Pandavas. So they come with this huge army, this there, Yudhisthira thought it was a great idea, Yudhisthira in front, they come past, thank you Maharaj, yes, Duryodhana in front, and then there's this Gandharva, and they're coming past this area, and the Gandharva says, you know, stop, you can't get past here. And Duryodhana says, look, you know what I mean? Points at his whole army that's behind him. I mean, you know, look, mate. Get out of the way, okay? Right? And it becomes a huge fight, and at one point, the Kurus are badly losing. Nearby, the Pandavas are in the forest in hiding, and they hear the news, and Bhima is saying, great, great, they're doing our job, you know, this is fantastic. Anyway, it becomes a big, and then Yudhisthira says, we must save them, because they're our family. And then the Pandavas, their mouth falls open, but they're going, and at the end Yudhisthira said, but I cannot go, because I'm doing a yagya right now, so they make it. Anyway, Arjuna goes, and when he starts fighting, the Gandharvas start losing. Arjuna makes a net of arrows in the sky. The Gandharvas try to take Duryodhana away. He saves Duryodhana. This is the most terrible moment in Duryodhana's life. Right? So he looks down at the ground and says, okay, Arjuna, you saved my life. So what benediction do you want? Arjuna says, I'll take it later. That's when Duryodhana is deciding to give up his life by fasting. And he's fasting, sitting, meditating. Then all the demons, the daityas, appear before him in meditation and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? We prayed for you. We performed a big puja so that you could appear so that we can defeat the devas. Now you have appeared, and now you're going to commit suicide, right? And then was it Karna? Was he Bhaumasura? Am I right? Did he Bhaumasura? One of the son of the earth, I thought he was. So it must be Bhaumasura. So he has also appeared to help you. So if you read the whole Mahabharata, you'll find that portion there, at the end of the Pandavas' exile in the forest. You can read that pastime in detail. And then you can see that Karna was not just as innocent as he may look. He was not a devotee. That was the problem. Yes, 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 yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shall I stop? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.